Happy Easter. Christ is risen. Truly he is risen. Hallelujah. What Thomas heard from the other disciples when he arrived was this Easter proclamation, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. But it was only after Christ coming to him and him putting his own hands in the holes of his hands and putting his side into the side of Jesus, touching the heart of God. Remember when Jesus' side was pierced, it was pierced into the heart. And so Thomas reached in and touched the heart of Jesus. And Thomas, having encountered the risen Lord, says, truly he is risen. He hasn't just heard it proclaimed, but he's encountered him now. Truly, Jesus is risen. He's alive. And blessed, Jesus says, are those who have not seen yet believe, who have not physically put their hands in his side and in his hands and physically seen him with their own eyes, but yet who have seen him with the eyes of faith, and this is us he speaks of, who have encountered the risen Jesus, have encountered his life in the sacraments, in baptism, confession, the Eucharist, in prayer. You have encountered the risen Jesus and were able to say, it is true, truly, he is risen. And this eighth day, the final day of the octave of Easter, we proclaim this, and this was the day that Jesus revealed that he wanted dedicated to his very divine mercy. Creation was how many days? Seven, right? On the eighth day, the day of the resurrection, Jesus recreated everything. And it's why this Easter day is an eight-day celebration. Because on the first day, what did God create in the beginning? Let there be light. All of creation began with an incredible bursting of the light into the darkness. This was the beginning of creation. And God sorted the light from the darkness, and that was the first day. How does the very beginning of recreation begin? On the holiest night of the entire life of the church, the Easter Vigil, it begins in darkness. And then the light in this recreation bursts from the Easter candle, the light of Christ. The light comes into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, because the whole church is filled with this light. And everything throughout this octave of Easter, we hear of these appearances of Jesus, and what he's doing is he's going about and he's recreating. A creation that has fallen, he is restoring and making new. Everything in this octave, Jesus goes about and he recreates. And what does he recreate on this eighth day? And we see it first in Thomas. He recreates the human heart. Thomas reaches in his incredulity, and he touches the very heart of God, Jesus' heart. And this was Jesus' great desire for us that he revealed less than 100 years ago, that he wanted this eighth day of Easter, this final day of the great recreation of everything, to be dedicated to his divine mercy. So I'll come over so I can be closer to the image. But just to point out a couple of the details with this, this is the original image of divine mercy, which was the image that Sister Faustina, 93 years ago, when Jesus began appearing to her, one of the things that he showed to her was this vision of himself and his divine mercy. And he asked her to have this vision that he had shown to her, which is this, reproduced, so that in all churches and in all homes, we might be able to see with our own eyes this image of God's divine mercy in Jesus Christ. And so Sister Faustina worked with an artist painstakingly, because love is in the details, and some of the details were so important to her of this image of divine mercy that Jesus had shown her. and that it was 100 years ago, not 100, 90 years ago in 1934 that this image was painted. And so a couple of details with it is it was really important for Sister Faustina that you're able to see within this image both the great darkness and the light bursting forth. That this is the resurrected Christ, this is the recreation. So the background, she was insistent, she wanted all the colors put onto it so it would be pure black. A pure black background representing the darkness of sin and despair and emptiness. But from that darkness, which we see in the image, Jesus is the source of all light, that he bursts out from it. And within this too, is the thing that she spent the most time focusing on with the painter was the face of Jesus. She had him redo it 10 times. Can you imagine being the artist, and after the 8th time, she comes in, and like right away he knows, it's like, okay, I'll just redo it again. It's 10 times, because for her, she was never content with it, because she said it doesn't capture the beauty of Jesus. It doesn't capture the beauty of his divine mercy that he revealed. The immense compassion of Jesus and the beauty of him. And so 10 times she had him redo it. And even after the 10th time, it was only Jesus speaking to her, saying, "It is good enough. It's the beauty of my mercy I want people to encounter." But this face of Jesus, in the 1990s, they took the Shroud of Turin. You guys know of the Shroud of Turin, right? The burial cloth of Jesus that he was wrapped in. And in the moment of his resurrection, and remember what happened in his resurrection. It was a burst of light which filled his body. It was the moment of recreation in Jesus' very body that left this photo negative on this shroud of Jesus. They took the Shroud of Turin and they laid the face of it over the face of this original Divine Mercy image, and point by point, every part of the face lines up perfectly with it. That indeed this image of the face of Jesus, though it's only a hint of the shadow of his beauty and the beauty of his mercy, is indeed the face of Christ himself. And he points with one hand, he blesses, and with the other hand, he reveals his side that Thomas reached into. He reveals his heart, and coming forth from that heart, the blood and the water, the baptism, which is the first moment that you and I both encountered God's mercy. Our baptism, which was the moment when you became a new creation in Jesus Christ, and how that's renewed, that moment of baptism, every time in confession. And so the water which comes forth and the blood of Jesus in the Eucharist, this gift of his very self to us. And the two last little details, the one which was very peculiar that Sister Faustina wanted captured in the image, was she said, Jesus was coming toward us with this mercy. And so one of the feet is actually forward, as if Jesus is walking toward us. Meaning, Jesus always takes the first step toward us with this infinite ocean of mercy that he speaks of. He doesn't just sit back, he's like, all right, you come and get it if you want it. No, he comes toward us with his mercy. We also have to come toward him and open our hearts to receive it. But he takes that first movement always toward us with his mercy. He comes to us. So great is his desire for us to receive this, because it's this mercy that transforms the human heart, in which everything begins and everything ends. Changing our hearts, he said, even the hardest stone of a heart, with one drop of his mercy, which is received, can transform the heart and turn it into human flesh. Transform it into his very heart. And the last thing, on every image, Jesus wanted his own signature to to write the words, "Jesus, I trust in you." This message of divine mercy, Jesus speaks to people in every time, and he speaks to our own age. And this was the message he said, which was the urgent message of our age in the world and in the church and in our own hearts. It's the message of his divine mercy and to trust in him in the midst of all the darkness. He speaks to us personally in our time and in our struggles in this world and in our souls. That in this one view, we see the darkness, but we see Jesus and the hope that comes forth and the hope that comes forth from his heart, and to place all trust in him. And so I want to close just by together just praying one decade of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, but I want you to call to your minds and hearts just one person in your life who you want to pray for, who is in desperate need of God's mercy, so we can be very intentional in this prayer. And so if you please join me in kneeling and lifting that person who you have brought to your own heart to Jesus in his divine mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, Lord, and the world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, Lord, and the world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, Lord, and the world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, Lord, and the world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, Lord, and the world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion. For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one, have mercy on us and on the whole world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.